Welcome back to the Prayer is Breathing podcast. My name is Latoya. I want to thank you for tuning in. And today I'm going to talk to you about a very powerful message that has the ability to transform your life truly from the inside out. And so we are in 2024. God is doing a new thing, and it is so important that we are in the Word of God like never before, but it's also important that we are holding on to our faith, that we are not allowing the enemy to come in with the evil sin of unbelief. That's right, it's evil, it's sin, and we're going to talk about three ways to uproot unbelief from your life, okay? And the Bible tells us so much about unbelief, and there's so many warnings that we see about unbelief, but we can overcome it. We have to hold on to the word of the Lord, and we have to stand in the promises of God, okay? And so one verse that is super powerful when it comes to unbelief is Hebrews chapter 3, verse 19. And it says, so we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. And this passage is talking about the children of Israel. So I just want to go up a few verses earlier and read this passage. Hebrews chapter 3, starting with verse 16. For who, having heard, rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt, led by Moses? Now, with whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they could not enter into his rest, but to those who did not obey? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Let me tell you that you have come too far to not enter into the promises of God due to unbelief. And so the children of Israel, obviously they were in the wilderness, they were wandering, they were disobedient, they were complaining, all the things. But we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. And so you really have to take unbelief so seriously and be determined to uproot it from your life. I'm going to share with you three ways to uproot unbelief. Now, it's really hard to talk about unbelief without mentioning Zacharias. He is one of the most powerful stories that we see in the New Testament when it comes to unbelief. And if you know me, you know that I have talked about this story. It's also in my book, Before the Promise, available on Amazon. And you can look at Before the Promise by Latoya Bryant. And really, I have a whole chapter on battling unbelief that talks about this very passage that I'm going to share with you today, and pull out three different ways that we can learn from Zacharias and uproot unbelief from our lives. Okay, and so we're going to look at Luke chapter 1, where the angel Gabriel visits Zacharias and begins to tell him that he is going to have a son. And as you know, they were both righteous, blameless before God, Zacharias and his wife Elizabeth, and they have been praying for a very, very long time. And I want to jump right in and tell you that the first way to uproot unbelief from your life is to not limit God by time. If you are a person where you've been praying for 20 years, you've been praying for 5 years or 10 years, you cannot allow that time frame to cause you to go into the sin of unbelief. And so Zacharias had been praying a really, really long time, him and his wife, but she was barren. And so it's easy to start to doubt God when there's been a long time in the process of your answered prayers. But you have to understand that God is not limited to our time frame. And even when it takes forever, God will still do what he says he will do. Hallelujah. And so let's read, starting with verse 5. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren and they were both well advanced in years. So it was that while he was serving as a priest before God in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people was praying outside at the hour of incense. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John, and you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and he shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled," hallelujah, "with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb." Come on, look at that. Filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. "And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Let me tell you that God is so far in the future that this angel comes and shows Zacharias prophetically everything that his son will do according to the will of God. And this is such a beautiful passage. And so not only does he tell Zacharias, "Your prayer has been heard," but he gives him some insight into the prophetic. He gives him some insight into things that haven't even happened yet. But the angel begins to walk him through the entire life of John the Baptist and tells him his purpose, tells him even that John the Baptist will have to abstain from wine or strong drink. And so he lays out the whole plan of God, the whole heart of God to the priest Zacharias. Talk about a prophetic word. Talk about a sovereign, faithful, awesome God. How beautiful the Lord is, how wonderful he is, how kind he is. And so that is just so beautiful to me, just how this is so prophetic, because Zacharias had not seen any of these things yet, but the angel Gabriel began to prophesy these things to him and declare it and reveal to him the things that were to come. And verse 18, "And Zacharias said to the angel, 'How shall I know this? For I am a man and I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years.'" This brings me to our second point. So the first point was not to limit God based on time. And I know that you've been waiting a long time, and I know that you've been praying a long time, but you have to understand that God has not forgotten you. You have to also understand that you are not limited, that God is not limited to your time frame. God operates in his own timing, and we don't always have the answers to that. But just because it's been a long time does not give us a right to go into the sin of unbelief. The second way to uproot unbelief from your life is to walk by faith and remove logic. Yes, logic can hinder you a lot in when it comes to walking by faith, because we walk by faith, not by sight. Of course, we understand Proverbs 3, verse 5, which says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not to your own understanding." And so when you're trusting in the Lord, you have to remove your own understanding and your own logic. And so according to Zacharias, he really truly had every right to think, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man and my wife is well advanced in years." Okay, he was smart enough not to just say his wife was old, but he said she was well advanced in years. And then verse 19, "And the angel answered and said to him, 'I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God and was sent to speak to you and bring to you these glad tidings.'" Okay, and then verse 20 says, "But behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time. One thing I love about God is Zacharias never said, I don't believe, but God was able to judge his heart. God was able to see his heart through the angel Gabriel, of course, is speaking here, but the Lord knows our hearts. And this is why Gabriel rebuked Zacharias and put him on mute because of the unbelief that was in his heart. And so if you're honest, you will take an assessment in your heart and say, God, do I really believe? And so what helps you to believe is understanding that you do not have to figure out how God is going to do it. You don't have to calculate. You don't have to figure it out. It does not have to make sense to you. All you have to do is trust in the Lord. And we see that with Mary. She said, let it be unto me according to your word. And so she didn't try to figure out all these things. Of course, she had questions in her humanity, but she didn't try to figure out every way that God was going to do it. Amen. And so that's one thing that you have to really release. If you're a person that likes to have all the answers or you like to be in control, you have to release those things to God and trust that God is going to do what he said he is going to do. And he doesn't need your logic or your calculations to bring those things to pass. Hallelujah. And the third point, the third way to uproot unbelief is so simple, but you have to agree with God. That's how you uproot unbelief. If God said it, you agree with it. So let's jump down in Luke chapter 1, verse 59. So it was on the eighth day that they came to circumcise the child, and they would have called him by the name of his father, Zacharias. His mother answered and said, no, he shall be called John. Now, of course, this went completely against their custom and their way of living and their way of doing life. And we see that in verse 61. But they said to her, there is no one among your relatives who is called by this name. So they made signs to his father what he would have him called. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, saying, his name is John. So they all marveled. And love verse 64. It says, immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue loosed, and he spoke praising God. Then fear came on all who dwelt around them, and all these sayings were discussed throughout all the hill of the country of Judea. And all those who heard them kept them in their hearts, saying, what kind of child will this be? And the hand, hallelujah, the hand of the Lord was with him. And so the third way that you uproot unbelief is you agree with God. If God said it, you don't doubt, you don't second guess. And so Zacharias, after he had been muted all this time, he was muted, y'all, from the time that Gabriel showed up and told him you'll be muted until this child's birth. And then we have 8 days after this child's birth where the child, John the Baptist, was going to be circumcised. So he had all that amount of time that he was mute, but then he decided to come into agreement with God. And you have to make a decision that you're going to agree with God no matter how it looks, no matter if it's not been done before, because nobody had, he was saying, nobody in your family's name is John. And it doesn't matter, because when God is doing a new thing, you have to come into agreement with what God has spoken. And so I want to encourage you to take this message very seriously and to uproot unbelief out of your life, because without faith, it is impossible to please God. And we have to believe that God is who he says that he is, and that he will do what he says he will do. I want to say a prayer for you today. God, I just pray for every person that is listening to this message. I pray that you would bind up the strong man of unbelief. God, that we would enter into your promises, that we will stand on the word of God, that we would understand that you are sovereign. You are not limited to time. And so God, we break off the sin and we repent for the sin of unbelief. Oh God, that we would believe you, that with you all things are possible to them who believes. And so God, we thank you for the conviction of the Holy Spirit. We thank you, oh God, for the ability to uproot the sin of unbelief and to walk by faith, pleasing you, oh God, pleasing you with our faith, because we know that you will do what you said you will do. And so, Lord, we love you, we honor you, we glorify you, we magnify your name. In Jesus' name, amen. And if you're listening to this podcast and you have not given your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, I just want to encourage you to do that, to invite Jesus into your heart, to allow him to come in, to wash you, to cleanse you from your sins, that you would just be made new and forgiven and repent of your sins and turn your life, your heart, your soul, your mind over to the Lord Jesus Christ and allow him to come in and to make you new and to make you whole and that you would be born again. Hallelujah. And so thank you today for listening. I pray that you tune in next week. If you have any prayer requests, you can send those prayer requests to prayerisbreathing@gmail.com. And we look forward to answering your prayer requests. Also, women, every Monday night, I host a Bible study via Zoom at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can register on eventbrite.com, and that is called the Equipping Women's Bible Study. So we would love for you to be a part and get involved. God bless you and have a blessed, victorious week.